Welcome back. In the previous session, we have done in consumer discovery. Then now, we will go to consumer validation process. Consumer validation. Consumer validation is also a very important step for your entrepreneurship. Okay, are you ready? Let's go. So before we go into the main topic of the consumer validation, I want to introduce very interesting, you know, startup case. Look at these two guys. Okay, they are working at the Google, okay, and they met together over there. Then in 2017, they came up with a great idea, okay, and then they look at the problem of the bodega. Okay, have you heard about the bodega? Bodega is a kind of a small grocery store, okay, located in urban area, which is New York City, okay, urban area. And also they especially are located in kind of a neighborhood with a large Hispanic population. So in the Spanish term, the bodega means kind of a storerooms or a wine cabinet or something like that. Okay, so basically this is kind of a small grocery stores that sell some kind of the essentials or snacks or eggs or sandwiches to the neighbors. Okay, this is a concept of the bodega. And then, you know, what's wrong? What's wrong with the bodega? And then they thought that bodega is not structured, okay, because it's a mom and pop store. And also it's not operating 24 hours. So if the people who live in urban area, they need some essentials at night. And there's no way to purchase those kind of essentials, such as, you know, the laundry detergents or sodas or snacks. And also, you know, going outside to purchase those items is kind of dangerous. Okay, so think about New York City, you know, a little bit dangerous, right? So they came up with the solution based on those problems. Okay, what if we place kind of, you know, innovative vending machines, okay? Innovative vending machine. And then place those vending machines inside the building, like this, okay? Like this. This is a bodega, right? Wow, it looks very fancy, right? Inside the building, and the tenant like her, you know, can use the bodega at night, okay? At night. So she doesn't have to worry about kind of safeties because it's a kind of an indoor vending machine. And she doesn't need the cashes or a credit card. Why? Because, you know, if she has a mobile phone, then, you know, she can use the mobile phone easily, you know, to unlock the bodega and just, you know, simply pick up the items from the bodega. Then just touch the mobile phone and lock the door. Okay, then the bodega, you know, will just check it out, your item, like Amazon Go concept, you know that. So the inside this vending machine, there is advanced technology, which is AI, there is a camera technology, something like that. And it attaches to your mobile phone. Wow, it's a revolutionized item, revolutionized vending machine. What do you think? Wow, their solution is great. So that's why they successfully raised outside funding, okay, in 2017. Then what happened? You know, they got the right consumer's problem. Okay, they got the right consumer's problem. What is that? You know, busy urban resident. Okay, busy urban resident who lived in apartment want ultra convenient access to essentials like snacks, drink, or toilet tissues without going outside. Okay. And, you know, this vending machine provides 24 hours, 7 days convenience. And also very close to their rooms, right? Because it is inside vending machines. And also, you know, you don't have to meet the consumer, you know, the peoples, okay? People, because it is no human interaction needed, right? Which is pretty convenient. What about their solution? Okay, their solution was AI vending machine. Okay, think about this. Having right consumer problems doesn't necessarily mean that you should provide AI-based solution. You know what I mean? And also, you know, consumers perceive your product a little bit different way. Okay, think about it. You know, the bodega and so AI vending machines generate, you know, the cultural criticism immediately. You know, the consumers out there perceive the bodega AI vending machine like a kind of terrible businesses that replace traditional mom and pop store with ugly technology. Okay, so look at this bodega. Bodega is a small grocery store located in urban area, but bodega is not just a simple store for them. You know, bodega is a kind of a place that they interact together. It's a kind of a symbol of the communities. Okay, so the traditional bodegas are not just stores, and they are a place where the community can interact together. Okay, and also, the bodega was run by the immigrant, okay, such as a Hispanic or Asian immigrant, something like that. So the bodega is not just a store, it's a kind of a mean of, livelihood for the immigrant. It's a very important place for them, okay? But this startup, you know, established by two young, you know, entrepreneurs who was working at the Google, destroy the very important place for the community. Oh my God, it's a terrible idea for them, right? Okay, look at the opinion of the consumers. Some consumers said that bodega, the very bad startup that want to kill the mom and pop store. Okay, other people said that, you know, it is not pantry box, it is gentrification box, okay, which is very interesting. So the bodega identified, you know, the consumer's problem very well. But their solution was perceived by the consumers very ugly, okay? And another thing is, you know, there's no economic benefits for the paying consumers. Well, basically, bodega target to two different types of consumers. They are end users, of course, you know, urban tenant like us, okay? It's a kind of a real users, okay? This is end users. But bodega target to the another users, another paying consumers. Who are they? Yes, of course, building owners. Building owners who agree to adopt this bodega vending machine inside their building. Or property managers. Property managers who are responsible for, you know, the filling up all the necessary items inside the bodega. Think about if there is no item left at night, then what should we do? And, you know, the property manager should fill them up, okay? But, you know, they should sleep, okay? They should sleep. So that's why there is a not consistent quality of the product or services. So the machines were expensive also, and also required restocking. And also, you know, the building owners do not expect any high profit margin. And also, it's very difficult to manage these vending machines, okay? So the bodega did not satisfy the end users' needs and also did not satisfy with kind of paying consumers' needs as well, right? So the bodega, you know, was in trouble right now, okay? So best takeaway of this case, bodega case, is that, you know, identifying consumer problem is not enough, okay? Once you finish identifying consumer problem, then you should go through validating your service and product, okay? In other words, you should test whether your solution is a good solution or not, okay? So you should go through the consumer validation process. Consumer validation process refers to the process of testing whether your solution actually solved the identified problem or not. Okay, this is the definition. The purpose of the consumer validation is to confirm whether your solution addresses the validated problems. Okay, although you identify great consumer problem, your solution was not. And you need to test your pricing, you need to test the sales channels, and you need to test the willingness to pay from the consumers. Basically, you should ask yourself, does my solution solve the problem or not? Okay, does my solution solve the problem? Okay, problem's ready, but my solution are not ready because, you know, my solution is kind of wrong solutions. And then what are we gonna do? We need to find out kind of alternative solution or the other solutions in order to solve the problem properly, right? Okay, how to? You need to test your solution with your real consumers, not hypothetical consumers. Okay, you get the feedback from your real consumers. You generate actionable feedback from your real consumers. Okay, and very similar to the consumer discovery, validation is also cyclical process. Again, you go through back and forth. Okay, well, there are three major methods for the consumer validation. First one, MVP. I'm sorry. Second one, landing page test. Third one, your beta release. Okay, let's look at MVP. MVP is a very famous concept, which is minimum viable product. Minimum viable product is the simplest version of your product. Okay, this is a core concept of the lean startup that we already discussed about in the other sessions, right? So the MVP deliver core value to the early adopter or early evangelist. You know, MVP test the core assumption about your solutions with minimum resources and minimum effort. Okay, if your solutions, you know, was proved as wrong solution, then you can easily change your solution, easily fix your MVP, and easily provide another MVP. Okay. So the best example of the MVP is a carrot board. Do you remember the carrot board? Carrot board is the MVP of the Blue River Technologies. Again, the Blue River Technology was founded by two people in Stanford University. One guy is the MBA student, one guy is the, you know, the computer science, you know, PhD student. Anyway, they target to the loan market, loan, right? But they, you know, they thought the farming area has a real problem. So that's why they quickly revised their solutions, and they prepared with the kind of a simple MVP to test their solution. Okay, so in this kind of a humble and you know, it's a very simple vehicle, you know, on the top of this vehicle there is the two cameras and two lasers and one radar, right? You know that. Okay, anyway, so with those technology, this MVP try to test their solution on the real farming field. Okay, so the farmers were very impressed with this MVP. So the later, you know, they revised this machine again and again, then they became very successful, right? Thanks to the MVP about, you know, consumer validation. Okay, let's move to another method for the consumer validation. This is a landing page test. Landing page, you know what landing page is. Okay, if you have a website and you have a landing page, this is a landing page. You know, a landing page is the one-page website designed to present your product idea and measure consumers' behavior. Okay, so your purpose of the landing page is twofold. First, you introduce your product service to the consumer. Second, you gather the data, how consumers react. Okay, how consumers react. So the usually, you know, you gather the data through the consumer's call to actions. Okay, call to action means there are several types of call to action. For example, you know, you provide some kind of the waiting list and the consumers join the waiting list. Or you provide a kind of a sign up page and consumers, you know, sign up for your product or services. Then you count how many people sign up right now. And pre-order now, and you just provide a pre-order click, you know, pre-order link. Then you can measure, you know, how many people click the pre-order. Okay, or request the demo link, and you just provide the request the demo link for the consumers. And consumers watch your or read your explanation about your service or solutions. Then if they need it, they just click the request demo button. Okay, then you count how many people click the request demo button, something like that. This is all about your data, you know, to validate your solutions. If you have tons of data, tons of click, then it means your solution kind of good solutions. Okay, if there is no click, okay, no activities, okay, no call to actions, then you think your solution currently is not good solution. Okay, it's pretty simple. The best example of landing page test was done by Dropbox. Okay, so basically Dropbox filmed just 3 minutes, 3 minute explanation about, you know, how we can use Dropbox or how Dropbox works. Okay, they just make a pretty simple animated video, right? Then just post this video, you know, on several websites, and also they prepare for their landing page. Okay, the 3 minute video at Hacker News in 2007 to see if there is a market demand or not about their concept. Okay, then, you know, the Dropbox gathered a lot of members, a lot of consumers, and a lot of consumers waited for a long line to use this Dropbox. Okay, they request the demo. Okay, so the Dropbox members increased from 5,000 to, you know, 75,000 people. So kind of within a second, it's a pretty short period of time. So that's why later what happened, you know, Dropbox founder became one of the youngest billionaire in the world. This is the landing page. Okay, again, do not underestimate the importance of the validation process, validation method. The last method of the validation is, you know, your beta release. What is beta? Beta release, beta is, beta version of your service is, you know, pre-launch version. Pre-launch version of your product or services, okay? The purpose of the beta release is to collect data, collect feedback from your real consumers. And also, you want to validate your performance of your solutions, your product. And then you can receive the feedback or comment. Then with this feedback comment, you just improve your quality of the product or services. Okay. I want to give you an example of the beta release. Look at him. Okay. He is a founder of the Slack. You know, we already mentioned about the Slack, right? Slack is a team communication tool. And these days, so many companies use communication tool, okay? Even in Hanyang University, you know, we have many departments, so many departments already adopted the Slack. And we pay the subscription, okay, to the Slack, right? Even in Hanyang University. So his name was Stuart Butterfield, okay? He's a serial entrepreneur, and he started Tiny Speck as a company in 2009. He came from Canada, anyway. Then, what is the main product of Tiny Speck? Tiny Speck main product was not team communication tool, okay? Rather than, you know, its main product was online game, okay? So the Stuart wanna make a new types of the online game, okay? Mobile game, which is a glitch, okay? The online game is a glitch. But sadly, the glitch was not popular, and the glitch was shut down in 2012. Okay, so everything messed up. Then what happened? Okay, so the Stuart and founding team get together and they discuss long, you know, what to do. Then later they decided to pivot their services. Okay, because they already developed some kind of very unique team communication tool, which is Slack. They didn't have any name at the time. But, you know, guys, we have developed it, kind of a new types of, you know, team communication tool. I think the function of this tool is way better than email, way better than the other, you know, communication tool. Why don't we make this communication tool stand alone product? So let's turn this internal chatting tool, you know, for the team communication into a standalone product. Okay. Then later, they decided to launch this Slack, this communication tool as a standalone product, okay? Then, you know, the Stuart met their friends, you know, his friends, and his friends are all entrepreneurs. So he met 10 of them and ask them to use Slack as an internal communication tool in your company. Please help me. Okay, just use this Slack, this internal, you know, team communication tool in your company. You have 5 departments, 5 teams. Okay, just ask them to use our product. Okay, this is kind of a demo version, right? And then he tested the service and product. Then later, he decided to conduct beta release. He decided to release pre-order, you know, pre-launch product as a beta product. Okay, so he waited for the users, and then he found that 8,000 users were interested in pre-version of Slack, and they needed. So the 8,000 users already signed up for the preview, okay, pre-order the Slack, which is you know, demo version or beta version. So, you know, the steward and his team realized that, yes, we will be successful. Then what is the outcome? What is the result? Yes, of course, it is successful, right? Beta release success, and this success drew huge word of mouth. Then what happened? Slack grew from 8,000 users to 1 million daily active users within 18 months. Then Slack went to IPO successfully. Then later, you know, Salesforce, you know, the big company, Salesforce acquired Slack for $27.7 billion in 2007. That is not just a simple success. That is a huge success. This is all because of, you know, consumer validation. Okay, again, you know, please keep that in your mind. Before you launch your businesses, you should go through consumer, you know, discovery stage, and also you should go through consumer validation stage. Okay, then it will be much safer for you. Okay, thank you for listening.